Jesus, you are the pearl of great price. You are the one who we would give anything for. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that in this time that we're able to come to your throne room and acknowledge who you are. You, O God, the more I look for you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. And the more I love you, God, the more I worship you. Because, God, you are so worthy of our praise. So worthy. So worthy, O God. The more I recognize what you did and what you have done and what you are doing and what you are going to do, O God, I recognize that I want to be with you every moment of the day. I recognize that I desire to walk with you, to live with you, to eat with you, to commune with you. I want to be with you, O God. And though my flesh gets in the way and sometimes I stray, God, I always want to come back to you. I want to come back to you, O God. And your loving kindness and your mercy allows me to. Thank you so much. Oh, Father, you're so worthy. And this day, I'm so thankful that we get to come as a congregation to come and to give you glory and honor. When two or three gather together, you say you're in their midst, God, I count on that promise. I count on that promise that you're right here with us, oh God, because we've come with a purpose to meet together to give you the glory and the honor, oh God. And you showed up. And so, Father, be glorified in the midst of your people. Sit on the throne, God. Feel the adoration of your people. Know, God, that you are loved. Father, I give you praise that you have a people that adore you. So, Father, continue to sustain us with your truth. Continue to sustain us with the promises of God, the promises of your word. Continue to sustain us with your Holy Spirit. Continue to sustain us, Father, by your hand of mercy and compassions. Continue, O God. And I know that you will, because you're a faithful God and you tell us that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Father. We rely on you. We rely on you. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father.
Can you hear me now? I want to acknowledge that I'm thankful that I live in a nation that gives me liberties. I think we should take advantage of those liberties. Because I think don't think that a nation gives them to us. I think they're God-given. And by the benefit that God has put us in this place where we are given those liberties for what? And it is to expand the kingdom of God. And so I want to do that. I want to expand the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful for our governor, who I know that other states are not as fortunate, who have used their power to try to oppress people. And our governor has basically said, I'm not going to do that. And that we're going to issue guidelines instead of laws. And he's following the Constitution. And so I appreciate that of our governor and our attorney general. And so I thank Jimmy for his due diligence in looking at the laws and also at what they have written for the churches and for the things that are going on in the nation, in our state. And it's important that we acknowledge those things and be aware of those things. And so we're not blind to what we need to do. Understand that God has given us a mandate. And the mandate is to follow His Word. And following His Word, actually there's a way to live life under the strictest of laws. You're talking about strict laws, you should live during Jesus' time. And let me tell you what, there were some strict laws during that time. And and he definitely knew how to, and he definitely looked at how he should live during those times of oppression. And there is an answer for every problem in this book. Amen. And so through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God, He will illuminate unto us how to walk out our life. And so even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of misery, even in the no matter what's going on in our life, the Word of God has our solutions. It has the ability to be able to walk in peace with all men. And you're going, well, how do you do that when you're actually having to go against? Well, God says, I'll give you peace in the midst. Because what? Your life is in God and not in the life of another person or another man or another law. So understand, we live our lives by the Word of God. And that's how we work. Last week, I talked about the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation is what I felt was God bringing something that was going to help us in going through, walking through this coronavirus, going through the isolation, but not necessarily isolation, but consecration of our lives to Jesus. And so the helmet of salvation was to actually cover our minds and cover our lips with the things of God. And so the salvation, the helmet of salvation, is to actually save us and to get us to the point where if we are of the right mindset in God, then we're going to be okay. That if we can have the right mindset toward God and the right mindset toward the things that we're going to go through, that we're going to be okay. Not only okay, we're going to be more than okay. We're going to be victors in Christ. We're going to be more than conquerors. How can you be more than a conqueror? Well, God just doesn't give you... When God told Egypt, when God told His people to leave Egypt, He didn't just say, leave. He told them, take everything with you. He stripped Egypt of everything they had. They took all the sheep, the goats, the pigs, probably not the pigs, but they took all the cows. They took everything with them. You know, they took everything with them. You know, and so they took them, and like a million plus people, they just headed out of town. That was no small feat. You know, and so God said, leave. And they took all the stock. They took all of it with them. And so understand that they were not only conquering Egypt. Understand, they were slaves. And now they were more than conquerors in this. And so as they were more than conquerors, they also got the spoils of Egypt. Like, wow. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Where at one time you had, like, you didn't know how you're going to pay your bills. And all of a sudden, in the next week, you were like, I got more money than what I thought I was going to have. It's happened to us. It's happened to us. And I have felt so secure. I felt like, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to make our house payment. And then in the next week, I'm going, woo, let's go out and eat. You know, and Sharon's going, I don't understand you. Well, God did this. And so understand God can make you more than a conqueror in this life. But you got to do that with God. That's the way it happens. And so this week I felt some of you may or some of you may have not. Each day, I felt like God was telling me, go on Facebook Live. And so I did it every day. Every morning. There was one particular day that I didn't do it in the morning. I had to go get a blood test. So I didn't do it in the morning. I did it that afternoon. But every day, I got a word from God to try to build people's faith and give them an encouragement to get on Facebook Live and to give people a word in season so that they could meditate on that word all throughout the day, and to be able to get them to be able to meditate on that word, and that God would actually build their spirit up during that time. And so it was a great thing to do for me. But I pray that it was a great thing to do for people. I was talking with Sharon. I'm going, I hope that this is not about me getting out there, but it's about the Lord getting out there. That it's the Lord that is getting the glory. It is the Lord that people are seeing here. Because it's all about, for me, it's all about the Word of God. And because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm praying that the Word of God is paramount in what I'm saying. Because if that is truth, then people are gaining strength by that word. So, I'm going to talk about joy here in a minute, but one of the whole lessons that I had this week was all about joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know? If we get down in the dumps, Satan has us right where he wants us. He wants to kick us while we're down. Satan has no scruples. He doesn't care. He will kick you, and he will maim you, and he will kick you while you're down so that what you don't get back up. And so, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But today, I want to talk about the truth. And read Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. I love that. I'm reading out of the Amplified, and it just gives it that extra flavor because it defines, the intent of the heart. Put on God's full armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Understand that. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood. You may get so frustrated with the things that are coming out of people's mouths. You may be, oh my gosh, would they stop saying that? Would you stop doing this? Would you stop doing that? And you may even affix their face to something that you're so frustrated at, but our fight is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. To stand firmly there. You see, when you get moved, you see, God says in Psalms that the righteous shall not be moved. You shall not be moved from where God has placed you. You got to know that You got to know that God has placed you in a place. And you shall not be moved from that place. God has fixed you in that place. And whatever comes your way, storm, depression, emotions, He's not going to move you. Those things won't move you. Why? God said, Jesus said, I will send who? A comforter during that time. In fact, He's already there. He already lives inside of you. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. See, those are things that are conditions. You've got to stand on the very truth that God has given you. You see, it's not just a matter of going, well, you know, I got the Word and it's sitting there on my kitchen table. No. You see, it's got to be the Word that's in your heart. It's got to be the Word of the truth that you know. It's got to be the truth that's written on the tablets of your heart. You see, it's the one that's in here. You see, when God says the truth, tighten the belt of truth around your loins, it means be girded up. Know that. I tell you an embarrassing story. When I was starting to lose weight, even when I was over there at the credit union, there was a cabinet that was kind of high up, and that's where we had our paper, our copy paper, and they told me to get it. And there was people in the lobby. Credit union's not that big. So I was reaching up, and reached up and sucked in my stomach, and my pants fell down. If this fell down to here, just to here, they didn't fall to the ground, but you know, going, whoa, you know, I looked around, you know, but my belt wasn't tight, you know. Is your belt of truth tight? You know? If somebody were to come to you and challenge you with something other than the truth, is your belt tight? Girded? You see, I do believe that God's not going to give you more than you can handle. But I also believe that God will allow you to be challenged. And you'll be going, oh man, you're going to have a conversation. And you might be a little embarrassed. And go, man, I probably should have known that. I should have known the truth of what the Word said about that thing. And I didn't. Well, you know what? God is a God of second chances. And so, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. You got as many chances as you got till you die. But the issue is, you need to get in the Word. And you need to seek the Word in that thing. And whatever that challenge is. You see, God says, whatever He started in you, He will complete. So God's going to lead you through it. God's going to give you exactly what you're going to need so that what? He shows you where to walk and talk and to be filled. God's going to give it exactly what you need. And so in that, know that He's even going to tighten your belt. He's going to do that. You know, the most out of context scripture ever quoted, I'm telling you, worldly people quote this scripture. This scripture has been touted by every lawyer, every judge, every courtroom, every actor. You know what it is? You know what it is. And the truth shall set you free. It's so out of context. Because what they say the truth is, it's a manipulation. It's what I want to know is that fact that I want to get out of you. They come into the cop, brings that person that they think did the crime, and that person's racked with guilt. And they say, oh, come on, you know, you won't feel guilty anymore if you just tell the truth. And that truth is going to set you free of that guilt that you're feeling. Oh, that's not real. I tell you the truth. Now, don't you feel better? That's not what this is talking about. That confession, because that confession does no good, because what this is talking about is the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, let's read the scripture. It's John 8, 31 through 38. And Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My word, hold fast to My teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered Him, we are Abraham's offspring, descendants, and have never been in bondage to anybody. What do you mean by saying you will be set free? That's the problem. They think so much of the flesh. They think so much of this natural thing. And they're going, I've never been in bondage. I've never been a slave. I've never been in jail. I am free. Jesus answered them, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is a slave of sin. Now a slave does not remain in a household permanently, forever. The son of the house does remain forever. Oh man, does that not speak? Does that not speak? The son of the slave remains forever. The son of sin also remains forever. So if the son liberates you, makes you free men, then you really and unquestionably free. Yes, I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you plan to kill me because my word has no entrance, makes no progress, does not find any place in you. I tell you the things which I have seen and heard at my Father's side, and your actions also reflect that you have heard and learned from your Father. And who is their Father? The devil. The father of lies. The father of deceit. Oh. Oh my. It's a catchy phrase, isn't it? And the truth shall set you free. You can't handle the truth. Y'all know which movie I'm talking about. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. I want the truth. Man. So, can we handle the truth? Well, God will show you the truth.
Amen.
If you ask Him the truth, if you truly have been in your closet, have you truly consecrated yourself unto the things of God, if you have truly separated yourself from the world and got into your closet and said, God, this is me, naked before You. I have no veil. I come unveiled before You. This is me, naked. This is me. Father, what would separate me from You? And then He begins to tell you, well, you got a problem with this, and you have a problem with that, and then there's this thing, and then this. Let me tell you what, God won't overwhelm you. He will give you what you need for the very time. And then, when you get rid of that, He'll go on to the next thing. And then He'll go on to the next thing. But there's going to be some lull in between there because He's going to love you. He's going to secure you. You know, do you think that as a parent, we don't know everything that's wrong with your child? Yeah. We know there's more things than one thing that's wrong with you. And so, therefore, we deal with that one thing. We love you, restore you, get you back on your feet, get you back girded up, and then we wait till that thing that you do wrong, and then we betimes discipline you, betimes, which means quickly, and then do that. You see, parenting is just parenting the way God would parent you. And that way, what? You're being parented by God. That's the way it works. The truth is not a fact that happens to be correct. The truth is the person of Jesus Christ. People walk around in their misery thinking that it's normal. That is bondage. When they walk around and think that in their misery, that is the way it should be all the time. Oh, I talked to a young man. This was a few years ago, I talked to a young man, and he was probably 18. And he said, well, I've reached the maximum. I've reached my limit. It's all down here from here. Oh, you got to be kidding me. 18? This is as far as you go? Oh, yeah, I don't see anything better than this. I said, man. I said, God has a future for you. A lot more than this. Let me tell you that. God has more for you than this. But he had already given up on life at 18. And, I mean, he was healthy. Good-looking kid. He was going to do much more than that. But his attitude was that he was done. People walk around in their misery. We have the hope that they need. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. We have no other hope. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It is joy in God. Joy versus happiness. Happiness comes from external things. I get to have this and this, or our happiness. Ooh, I get to go hunting. I'm so happy. I gotta go back to work. I'm not happy. I get to do this. I'm happy. I don't get to go do that. I'm not happy. Ah, I get to go to an amusement park. Ooh, I'm so happy. Joy comes from within. I live with God. It's an internal. I have a mask on. It's an internal thing. God lives within me. He lives within me all the time. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. How to write a song. He says, God, Jesus says, I am the truth. John 14:6. Yeah. Is that fogging up? John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And a lot of people think they can come to God through many other ways. And it's just not true. They can only do it through Jesus. Peter and Jesus had a come to Jesus moment. Ever had one of those come to Jesus moment? Yeah. I've had many myself. And I will probably have many more if I'm lucky. Because come to Jesus moments are rich in my growth in God. But Peter had a come to Jesus moment. And in that moment, he was asked a question. Peter, would you leave me too? But before we get to that question, there were some things that happened right before that. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. Right? And that's kind of a misnomer. There were 5,000 men there. There was actually more like 15 to 20,000 people there. Because they didn't count the women and children. So there were 5,000 families. And so there were all of these people on the hillside. Understand, there was no microphone. There were no amplification to his voice. Do you not think that was a miracle? Do you not think that what Jesus was preaching to these people? I mean, they were there to hear him. And so I assume the ones in the back were bored. They were there, like, engaged in what Jesus was saying. And so they were all there, and it was getting kind of late. And so the disciples said, these people are hungry, Jesus. We don't have anything to feed them. 5,000 people, 20,000 people. We don't have anything to feed them. But we have this kid, and he's got 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. Wouldn't you have been embarrassed to even bring that to Jesus? I would have been embarrassed. Jesus, this is what we got. See all those people? This is what we got. And he says, hand it out. start handing it out. And they did. They started handing out all of these. And all of a sudden, they said, well, we handed it out, and there's stuff left over. He said, go gather it up. And there were 12 baskets left over of fish and loaves of bread. 12 baskets of fish and loaves of bread. What'd they do with that? I don't know. Jesus probably said, give it to the little boy. Go make some money off of that. Go, whatever. He didn't say. But go get it. 12 baskets. And then, so, he leaves. The disciples leave. And if you ever looked at the map of the Sea of Galilee, it's like a little, it comes around like this. And they're at the very top. And at the very top, there's this kind of a small space. And so the disciples get in a boat, and they go across. But right in the middle, they stop because they see a figure. And that figure looks like a ghost. And they say, oh, there's a ghost. And they figure out, it's Jesus. And then Peter says, if it's you, Jesus, beg me to come to you. And so Jesus is walking on the water. He's walking on water. That's not something you see every day. And so Jesus walks on the water. And then Peter says, beg me to come to you. He says, well, come on. Get out of your little boat and come on with me. So he gets out of the boat and he starts walking. And he has his eyes on Jesus, and all of a sudden he looks down and he sees waves. And he says, that's not what I should be doing. And all of a sudden he starts to sink. And Jesus reaches down his hand and he picks Peter up. He puts him back on the water. And probably puts him back in the boat. And they go on to the other side. Well, remember, they're crossing the side to the other side. Well, so were those 5,000 people. Those 5,000 people didn't cross. They went around to meet Jesus on the other side. And they're going, woo! You know, that was some pretty good fish and some pretty good bread. That was good eating. And anytime I find a good restaurant, you know what I do? I go back. And that's what they did. They were going back for more. So they go back. They're looking at Jesus and they're saying, we want more of that stuff that you gave us. Expecting another meal. And you know what Jesus did? Nope. Ain't giving you no more. He says, you're going to have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Peter kind of goes, whoa, wait a minute here. That's a little harsh, God. Jesus, don't you think? And so they leave. You are crazy. You crazy man. I don't care what you said on the other side. We believed everything you said on the other side, and we ate everything that you gave us to eat. But man, now you're talking crazy. We're leaving. That's stupid stuff. And Peter comes and questions. He questions Jesus. And he says, Jesus, that's a hard saying. That's a really hard saying. It would have been just as easy for Jesus to say, well, this is what I'm talking about. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. And this is what's going to happen. But Jesus doesn't do that. I want you to know this. You want to know the truth? Do you want the truth to set you free? There's going to come some times in your life when Jesus is not going to explain some things to you. Jesus is going to say exactly to you what Jesus said to Peter. Would you go with them? But not before he just did what he did to Peter. He proved himself to Peter. He proved himself by showing him he could feed 5,000 people, 20,000 people. He proved himself by walking on water. He proved himself by taking him out of the water and putting him back in the boat. He proved himself the whole time. And then he asked him the question, would you go too? Before you say anything and question Jesus, maybe we should take inventory. Where have you been with Jesus before you ask that question? Where has the truth been with you? Not just the truth of what God has done, but where has the capital T, well, I am the truth, the life, and the way. What is that truth that God has put in you? You see, there will come times at any given point in your life that Jesus, God, will give you an out. He'll give you an out. I want to let you know there have been people in my life that I thought would never, never, ever leave the gospel. But they made a decision. They made a decision because why? For whatever reason, whatever reason, whether it be their flesh or because it got too hard or because that was a hard saying or because whatever decision that they made it with their eyes wide open and said, this saying is too hard. The saying is too hard. Well, the truth of Jesus Christ is I'm going to read you some scriptures here. 1 John 2:21. I write to you not because you are ignorant and do not perceive and know the truth, but because you do perceive and know it. And that nothing false, no deception, no lie is of the truth. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. By this we shall come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we are of the truth and can reassure, quiet, conciliate, and pacify our hearts in His presence. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. Whoever is learning to know God listens to us, and he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Whoa. For we know the spirit of truth, but we also can recognize the spirit of error. Let me tell you what. The spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, can discern the things that are both. It is important that we know both. Because if we are not able, we will be deceived. In this time, there are many who would like to deceive us. They themselves are deceived and will deceive. Did you not hear that this week? Oh my gosh, you heard it this week. I know you did. If you listen to the news at all, 1 John 5:6. This is He who came by with water and blood, His baptism and His death, Jesus Christ the Messiah, not by in the water only, but by in the water and the blood. And it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness, because the Holy Spirit is the truth. 2 John 1:2. Because of the truth which lives and stays in our hearts, will be with us forever. 2 John 1:3, the next verse. Grace, spiritual blessing, mercy, and soul, peace will be with us from God the Father and Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Father's Son, in all sincerity, truth, and love. Verse 4. I was greatly delighted. This is so true. I want to know that I have experienced this. I was greatly delighted to find some of your children walking, living in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father Himself. When I find people who I have had direct contact with, who I have seen, who have been and now walking in the truth, it delights my soul and delights my spirit. 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my spiritual children are living their lives in the truth. Revelation 19:10. Then I fell prostrate at His feet to worship, to pay divine honors to Him. But He restrained me and said, "Refrain, you must not do that. I am only another servant with you and your brethren who have accepted, hold the testimony borne by Jesus. Worship God, for the substance, essence of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy." God, the truth of Jesus Christ, He reveals unto us the truth of Jesus Christ. It is the truth. It will sustain us through hard times. This is not the end. This is very far from the end. We have much work to do within ourselves, within our families, within the people that we come in contact with. We have something to say. And I believe that there's a work to be done. And we are no better company than us, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, guiding and leading us into all righteousness and the truth.
Wow, good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you, Arthur. I had this kind of visual thing about the belt of truth. Three major ways, you know, three major conditions we can be in. One, we don't even have the belt of truth anywhere close to us. It's off in the closet somewhere, never heard of it. You know, not this group, but I mean, there are people in general. Got no belt of truth on at all. Don't know about it, never heard of it, or have rejected it and left it aside. But then most of us are more in this condition, like Arthur and reaching up on the shelf. The belt of truth is a little loose. We wear it loosely. And we all need to admit and confess that we are loose with the truth sometimes. Especially when it comes to allowing ourselves our desires and our opinions. We wear the belt of truth a little loose sometimes. Let's commit. As he said, let's tighten the belt. As you give up your flesh, you need to tighten the belt. That's what he's talking about. That's a good picture, man. So, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Man, it's weird having a mask on, but it's great to see y'all and be assembled with y'all today. And I hope we can at least do this much again next week. I hope that my prayer actually changed with a text that Eric sent 2 or 3 weeks ago about Jesus speaking to the storm. He didn't pray, God, you know, stop the storm. He said, storm, be still. It changed the way I pray about this virus and this mess we're in. I just keep speaking to it in Jesus' name. Let go of us, be gone from the earth. That's what I pray. Speaking to the chaos and the mess, the virus, everything to do with it. And I fully expect that we'll be gone and we'll be truly released. But I'm so thankful that we can meet like this at least. So we will consider, we'll read, we'll be watchful of what we're supposed to do. I'm so thankful as well that here in Crane, we have so little of this disease so far. And I pray it never touch us again. That we've only had the 2 cases reported. And whether a bunch of us have had it or not, it doesn't matter right now. Crane is okay. And I pray God's protection over everyone. I pray His hedge of protection around us, that we walk in divine health. And walk in joy in Him. All right, so good to see y'all. Y'all have a blessed week.
Before we go, I gotta say,
yeah.
Hands of Lamont James, it's $50 million. He said, if I hold this football, it's worth $12. He spent, and Peyton Manning's, it's worth $40 million. And he says, I can pick up a stick and it's just a stick, but you put it in the hands of Moses and it parted the Red Sea. He said, if I get a slingshot, it's just a kid's toy, but in the hand of David, it slayed this giant. And he said, if I get 2 nails, he said, I might build you a birdhouse. But in the hands of Jesus, it's our salvation. So the word depends on whose hands it's in. What is it in your hand? And so when I was listening to Pastor about this, is we have so much more to do, and every scripture he got, like Philippians 1:6, that's the scripture I stand on. You know that He has begun a good work in me, and is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I stand on that scripture. So it depends on whose hands it's in. Is it in your hands? Is it worth everything? Or in your hands, is it just something to pacify people? You know what I mean? So I just wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all have a great week.